Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. So today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about forsaking the modes of mortal thought and letting divine mind take over. Listen as we discuss what it looks like when reason walks through the open door of revelation and the truth is known. In this show, we will explain the difference between corporeal sense and divine knowing. Divine mind is too pure to behold iniquity. Spirit only knows spirit. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and judge righteously. Swami, today's title of the show is What is Meant by Righteous Judgment? So first of all, I think we have to talk about what does righteous mean and how does that apply to judgment?
Yeah, well, what we're talking about here when we speak in terms of righteous might not comply with what Webster says about it. Righteous judgment here means that you are seeing things with spiritual perception, that you come out of the mortal modes of thinking and you are seeing with divine mind.
And speaking of Webster, I believe we have the definition for that, the word righteous. And that is acting in accord with divine or moral law. And we've been talking a lot about divine law of late. So how does that factor in at all, if it does?
Well, I think that comes out of like the what we call the old theology now, that it's based on conduct. And here we have to come out of mortal identity. It's a much different dynamic when you are human thinking about being spiritual or you are complying with spiritual law as opposed to identifying with spirit.
Now let's put the two together. Let's talk about judgment and what does it mean to have righteous judgment?
To judge righteously, as I said earlier, means that you are seeing things spiritually. What appears in our five senses is not divine creation. It is just human conjecture. It is our thought about what's here. Now, we have to come out of duality. We have to come out of a belief in two powers, and we have to start to think with divine mind. So we have to come out of the rational. We have to come out of reason and a belief in two powers, and then we have to come through that open door of revelation. We move from duality into the absolute. We step out of the world of many into the one divine life, which is whole, it's complete, it's fulfilled, and it's absolutely perfect.
When you mentioned judging with duality, are you talking about when we look at a situation or we hear a story or whatever and we label something good or bad, that's making a judgment? And that's what you're talking about when we do using judgment through duality. Is that right?
Yeah, when we're using our corporeal senses, what is appearing in our five senses is really the sin that they're talking about in the Bible. And so we want to rise above corporeal sense, and we want to start to perceive things spiritually. I really like what Mary Baker Eddy said in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures on page 476 at the end, Jesus beheld in science the perfect man, who appeared to him where sinning mortal man appears to mortals. In this perfect man, the Savior saw God's own likeness, and this correct view of man healed the sick. That's what we're talking about when we say judge righteously, is this correct view, which is totally spiritual. Because you can't divide spirit, and you can't be a mortal creature and spiritual at the same time. And we've talked about this in a number of our shows, because spirit translates everything back into itself. Spirit only knows spirit, and that becomes the physics of spirituality.
So we have to prevent ourselves from labeling people and things around us, a thin person, a heavy person, young person, old person. We have to stop doing that and just come to that realization and knowing that everybody is the same.
Right. And it's not a person.
And to do differently is the sin. That's what you're talking about?
The sin is if you are seeing a person, a place, a thing. To judge righteously is to see only the allness of this one divine life and to have fidelity to this divine omnipresence. In order to do that successfully, you have to impersonalize everything, which includes yourself. You must know yourself in the way that you're created. And that's why in the Bible it tells us that we must put off the old man. Even in our Kriya Yoga practice, this concept of purification, we have to purge ourselves of all of the false concepts and beliefs and theories that we have just been accepting for all of these years.
I want to talk more about the statement that we have in the summary where we said, reason walks through the open door of revelation and the truth is known. So what do we mean by reason? And I know you mentioned revelation earlier, but should we know something else about the phrase, the open door of revelation?
Well, here's what we're looking at. We're looking at coming out of the modes of mortal thought. And we have discussed this in other shows, but we have to come out of Gemini, Virgo, and Sagittarius. We have to come out of our belief in matter, our belief in two powers. Everything that appears in our five senses appears in our five senses because it is a divided consciousness. It's not whole, it's not complete. There's a point of departure which creates contrast, and it appears in this rational mind. And the rational mind is a very limited function. On the lower level of it, it can only do one thing at a time. As you move into the higher mind, it can do many things at once, but what we want to graduate to is divine mind. And divine mind works in the absolute. So when we go through that door of reason into revelation, we're stepping out of duality and we're into the unified state. We're in the absolute, and the absolute can't be divided. To judge righteously is to see things in the truth of their being. Everything is whole, it's complete, it's fulfilled on a spirit level. But if we continue to react to the testimony of our senses and we accept the testimony of our senses and we believe that, then we give it a life that it doesn't have. And so this is what our practice now entails, is learning how to come out of this false sense of who we think we are and come out of the lower modes of mortal thought, human thinking, what most of us call thinking today, and we want to graduate to divine mind. And the divine mind knows this truth. But in order to do that, we have to become spirit. You can't still be a mortal creature thinking about being spiritual. That this metamorphosis, this transformation, what we call apotheosis, that there is a process that we follow that changes us from material to mental and eventually to spiritual identity.
So corporeal sense would be the wrong mode of perception. That's what we're talking about.
Right judgment is achieved only through spiritual sense. We step out of the three modes of mortal thinking and move awareness into its rightful position, focused on divine mind, the invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence. And from that level of awareness, all we do then is let divine mind express itself through us. But we have to be a perfect vessel for that. We have to create a hospitable environment to invite divine mind into our consciousness. That's why we practice purification.
When I asked you earlier about good and bad, it reminded me of the quote that you say from William Shakespeare.
Right. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. When he's talking about thinking, he's talking about mortal thinking, what Paul in the Bible called the carnal mind. And it works on contrast. It works in duality. And it is driven by fear, it is driven by human will, and is driven by belief. As we start to graduate from material to mental to spiritual identity, we put off this limited function that we call thinking.
I want to dig a little deeper in the sentence that we have in our opening, and it says, divine mind is too pure to behold iniquity. Spirit only knows spirit. First of all, can you explain what the word iniquity means? I know I read that a lot in the Bible, but can you just shed some light on that for us?
In this context, I really think that they're talking about imperfection, mortality, lack, limitations, suffering, sickness, death, anything that doesn't have divine qualities, which is absolute life, eternal life, absolute goodness, gentleness, kindness, anything that would have discord or that was in opposition to this one divine omnipresence, which is absolute goodness. And so the mind of God is too pure to behold this. And spirit only knows spirit. And so in order for us to set up any kind of channel of communication with this aspect of our being, we have to know ourselves in the way that we're known. We must accept spiritual identity. And with spiritual identity must come spiritual perception. We use obedience to impersonal spiritual perception to correct our thought. For the correction is found in the thought unity between the impersonal I of me being and the I of being. And that's part of this metamorphosis. That's the process of apotheosis, the unfolding, where we're coming out of a personal sense of I into this impersonal spiritual sense of I am all. You're coming from the finite into the infinite. And that's the revelation.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor, so listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga.
This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, we just got done talking about the thought unity between the impersonal I of my being and the I of being. But here's a question. What happens when your identity is the I of God?
Well, there's no more personal sense of me. There's no more asking, pleading, trying, striving, begging. I am only one divine life. No more divided consciousness. You're not double-minded. There's no belief in two powers, for there's only one divine life. There's no more time or space. Everything is here, now. And I like what Mary Baker Eddy says in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. Metaphysics resolves things into thoughts and exchanges the objects of sense for the ideas of soul. When divine mind takes over the scientific government of your being, there's no more human will involved. You are now governed by the will of the Father, divine law, and you have dominion.
I just want to get back to that quote that you just said from Mary Baker Eddy, when you talked about the object of sense for the ideas of soul. What does that really mean? What is the ideas of soul?
Well, we're talking about the divine idea, the divine creation, the truth of our being, which is very different than corporeal sense, that what is reporting in our five senses. That's one of the reasons why in the Bible it says to sow to the spirit, as opposed to sowing to the flesh. John 7:24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. What he's trying to tell us here is that we don't want to accept the testimony of our five senses, and to judge righteously is to behold the spiritual fact of being. It always reminds me of when we did that show on the ninth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And to see your neighbor as human, good, bad, and or otherwise, that's false witness. That we must know the spiritual fact. We must know the divine idea of whatever it is that is appearing before you. And so as we start to graduate from that personal sense of I, from rational thinking into this impersonal sense of spiritual perception, that you're now seeing things whole, complete, fulfilled. And in that, there can't be any iniquity. There can't be any lack, limitation, imperfection in that. Because this is divine mind. And if there is, then you're in what we call world mind, or you're in the counterfeit of truth. You're in the shadow of truth.
And that would be considered avidya.
That's what we call avidya in yoga. We're mistaking the impermanent for the permanent. We're mistaking the finite for the infinite.
So if something is appearing to us less than perfect, then that is a good indicator that we're not operating from divine mind.
Right. And there's your call to action. And the Bible says, repent. And what the Bible means when it says repent, it doesn't mean plead for forgiveness. It means think differently. But just how different they're talking is what we're trying to get across here, that you have to come out of corporeal sense and now start to work with spiritual perception. You have to come out of the rational and all of our human beliefs and concepts and theories, and now accept that the only thing that can be here is divine omnipresence. What we're working with here is an understanding that it must be perfect. It has to be absolute good. And so there's your faith. That's how you cultivate your faith. You're working with what is invisible and intangible, and it may be in conflict with what is appearing in your five senses. But you must be faithful to spiritual sense, and your understanding of what is true about God can reverse what appears to be true in matter.
Well, what I'd like to do now is let's talk about this righteous judgment and apply it specifically to healing. We've been doing a lot of shows on healing, and I know you had already mentioned the quote from Mary Baker Eddy from Science and Health, page 476-31, where at the very end of the quote, it says, "And this correct view of man healed the sick." So can we talk more about what that really means, how the judgment here and how this was that correct view and how it heals the sick?
Yeah, and I think what's really interesting about this is that science backs this. The new discoveries that are coming out in quantum physics are really trying to tell us that what we call reality is observation dependent. And it is the observer that sets the measurement for what's called the collapse of the wave function. In reality, everything is just possibilities until somebody observes it with some form of intention. Now, science is caught up with Mary Baker Eddy here, but what they haven't figured out are these modes of thinking, that if we think with mortal mind and we're thinking with a belief in two powers, then you're going to outpicture mortal limitations. But if you can graduate into think with divine mind, then you're working with divine perfection. Spirit holds the template for perfect creation. And as we had said, Jesus beheld in science the perfect man. By him seeing somebody in the perfection of their being, the observer sets the measurement for the collapse of the wave function. His perception, which was spiritual, changed the appearance of what was only held together by belief. It was a thought about what was really there. But if somebody can see this truth of being, it's like when the tide comes in, it lifts all the boats, that it will raise everyone that is in your consciousness with it. And so that's pretty much how the healing works. Like she says, it's science. And if you're still doing it with human will and belief, then of course it's more of a guessing game. But to be able to think with divine mind, I have an example here that I got from a website called Spirit View. The quote here is, "For instance, if you look in the mirror and see a disease on your body, mentally turn from what mortal mind is reporting to you through the physical eye and concentrate on what God is telling you through divine mind. Focus on discerning what is true with God rather than what mortal mind is trying to present as true in matter. What you understand to be true with God can reverse what appears to be true in matter. That's an important exercise, I think, that you want to start to experiment with. But the key here is you really must know God aright. Divine mind is invisible and intangible. And so you're really looking for nothing that is going to report in your five senses. And as you are working with this and you're developing what's called spiritual sense. See, in the Bible, they talk about the Christ. The Christ is what makes divine omnipresence intelligible to human consciousness. And so as we experience this birth of Christ within, and we start to perceive this word of God that is being poured out to everyone, but not reporting in our five senses, we have to come out of that mode of thinking in order for us to be able to open the channel of communication with divine mind. And as we attune ourselves to that, then we begin to correct our thought with this truth.
I'm just going to ask you to clarify a point in that quote you just talked about, the focus on discerning what is true with God. So somebody who is new to this, what does that look like? And I know we've been talking about the nine fruits. Would that be a good place to start?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That, in fact, what we do now is in our mantra on Sundays, the nine gates that we petition. Each one now is assigned to one of the fruits that comes from the Bible. And so there's peace, love, joy, goodness, kindness, gentleness, patience, faithfulness, temperance. And so we petition them 12 times each gate. Basically, it's an invitation. But we're working with divine sequence because we're working with the zodiac. We're going through it 12 times. And there are nine gates. So yeah, but these are spiritual qualities. But it's not the joy that we know on a rational level. It's absolute joy. It's not the love that we know on a rational level that can become hate. It's absolute love. In spirit, spirit is whole. There is no opposition in spirit. As we start to accept ourselves spiritually and we come out of this personal sense and that sense of separation, and we start to live out from this truth of our being, we start to see that it has power.
I like the last line of that quote from Spirit View. What you understand to be true with God can reverse what appears to be true in matter. And it sounds kind of just like what Mary Baker was saying, that correct view of man healed the sick.
Right. That's what Jesus would do. And the main reason is because false sense, this human experience, has no power. It relies on belief for its existence. Truth is a self-existent principle. It is power. It has power. And just like light dispels darkness, truth dispels error. Darkness isn't an opposing force to light. Darkness is just the absence of light. Error, or this false sense, is just the absence of this truth of our being.
Well, I do think we do have to stop right here to end our program. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. Once you're there on the homepage, you can access the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page by the fading banner. When it comes out of the Blog Talk Radio Show, just click that on. And also the products tab, if you go to online classes, that can give you access to all the classes and lessons that Swami has available for you. So Swami, do you have any of the final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join our Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and judge righteously. With that, namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.